Welcome to episode 9 of Talking Pathways. I'm delighted to be joined today by Andy Fell, who's a good friend of mine. We've known each other for years. He was at Royal Bank of Scotland Group and now resides in Australia. Very jealous, Andy. I'll introduce him in a moment and we'll talk more. But let me just give you some context and background to Andy. So Andy is the founder of Gift 361, A Future You and What Winners Do. He's a facilitator, he's a coach, he's a writer, he's genuinely just a great guy. And I know he's got some great insights to share with us about how do you unlock your true potential? How do you develop winning habits? And how do you really build your confidence and self-belief? So firstly, Andy, thank you and welcome to Talking Pathways.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure, Royston. And it's always just a pleasure to work with you. So I'm delighted to be here.
We're going to have some fun. As we always do with Talking Pathways, it is up close and personal. It's never scripted. We go with the flow. I think we've got an interesting title for you and I to talk about today, which is about all about why the day you stop learning is the day you stop earning, which is an intriguing title. But Andy, where I really want to go with this is, and I know this is your passion, it's your fuel, and it's what you do every single day. How important is the growth mindset is one facet that I really think we could drill into together. And then the second bit where I want to go later is, you and I have both met over our years a lot of knowledgeable people, people who've got phenomenal insights, expertise, but perhaps don't achieve the level of results that their knowledge dictates they should. What is the edge? What is the golden nugget about how you translate knowledge into action? So they're the two facets that I think would be really valuable today. So let's kick off with the growth mindset. What's your whole thinking about the importance of the growth mindset?
Yeah, well, let me go right back to the start, Royston. And as you say, you know, I, the first part of my career I spent at the Royal Bank of Scotland. And very early in my leadership career, the bank sent me on this conference. And I cannot remember anything else about this conference apart from this one story. And to me, this one story really sums up the growth mindset. And the story went like this, that there was a conference in New York and they gathered together the 100 best people in a particular industry. And they asked the number one person to go on stage and share all of her secrets with the other 99. And she did it. She shared absolutely everything that she'd got. And when she came off stage, she was grabbed by this journalist. And this journalist goes, "Are you mad? You've just shared all of your secrets with everyone else in the room." And she goes, "It doesn't matter. I will still be number one next year." And the journalist goes, "Well, how can you be so sure?" And she goes, "Well, 50% of the people in the room weren't listening. They may have been pretending to listen, but they weren't really listening." Now, this, Royston, was in the days before any form of mobile technology. And she said, "Out of the other 50%, I truly believe only 3 or 4 have got the strength of personality to change their behaviors in any way." And when I first heard that story, I was really disappointed in human behavior. But essentially, she was describing without knowing it, the fixed mindset that most people have. And the 3 or 4% of people who are willing to change their behaviors were those that operated with a growth mindset. And actually, when I thought about it a little bit more, I thought, well, how about if I'm always in the 3 or 4%, that every time I read one of Royston's books, every time I watch a TED talk, every time I read an article, I listen to a podcast, I meet someone I admire for a coffee, I go into to look at a different business in a different sector, I read a great business book. How about if I'm always in the 3 or 4% of people who do something differently on the back of some new learning? And I came up with this mantra that I was going to go through life. First of all, I was going to study success, but then I was going to learn what people were doing. I was going to copy it, no point in reinventing the wheel. And then I was going to add my own 10% winning edge. As I matured a little bit, I changed it to learn, adapt, and add my own 10%. And I think in essence for me, Royston, that sums up the difference between the growth mindset and the fixed mindset.
What a great way to open our session. I love the story and it's so true. So How do you translate though? What's the habits that you need to develop in really being able to translate knowledge into action? Because that's the key, isn't it? When the rubber meets the road, it's about all those ideas, all those success modeling that you do, all the ideas that you study from other people. But how do you develop the habits to really translate it and make it part of your DNA and your being?
Yeah, I think that's really the essence of what we're talking about. And one of the great philosophers of the modern world, you know, Arnie Schwarzenegger, Arnie says two things that really resonated with me. The first thing he said was, no one got muscles watching me work out. And the second thing he said was, you cannot climb the ladder of success with your hands in your pockets. And on the back of that, I've always thought I needed to build a system to translate all of this amazing learning and put it into action. And I've always been a writer, you know, a journal, you know, the whole time. But what I have done over the time, Royston, is I believe highly successful people have a really well-established morning routine. And a critical part of my morning routine, there are two things that I think are really important. The first one is I have an appointment every single day with Mozart. That's an appointment for myself, by myself, with myself. No technology, no chance of interruption or disruption, just me, my thoughts, and my journal. And really, it's part reflecting and debriefing, but it's also part getting out the weeds and almost, you know, taking myself up to the difference between that 6 foot and 100 foot thinking, where I can just think more holistically about my life, my business, you know, my products, my services, my clients. And that's Mozart time. Is when I've always kind of reflected and debriefed on all of the sessions that I've been to, all of the new learnings. As I say, I capture everything in that journal. I reread these journals relentlessly, but I give myself the time and space to think about, well, what does that really mean for me? And most of the winning habits and frameworks that I developed, I stole them from someone else. I learned, I copied, I add my 10%, but then I gave myself that Mozart time to really think about, well, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for my team? What does that mean for my business? And the other thing I'd say, Royston, is, you know, I'm a great believer that you need to match energy to the things that matter most. And I see too many people, you know, many of the people that I coach, and I'm sure many of the people that you coach when we start working with them, they're very, very busy people. They work exceptionally hard through the day. And it's only when their energy is starting to fade at the end of the day, they start to think about some of this new stuff or some of these learnings or some of the things that they've listened to, read, watched. And I believe you've got to reverse that. Like I say, we've got to do the things that matter most when our energy is, you know, at its highest, at its best, and our brain is at its most active. So when I moved to Australia, probably the best job I had in my almost 30 years in financial services was the general manager of the St. George Retail Bank. And I had the privilege to run that bank across Australia. And I didn't make any appointments before 10 o'clock in the morning. Before 10 o'clock was my time for myself, by myself, with myself. I had my Mozart time. I would do my self-development. I would do 15 minutes of praise, recognition, and thank you in that time as well. I'd read a couple of newspapers. But then I'd have clear space in my diary, clear space to just focus on what mattered most, which would often be, well, how am I going to take all this new content and turn it into effective frameworks, habits, routines, strategies to help me, my team, and my business move forward? And I'm a fundamental believer that the minute you dive into your inbox, you're working on someone else's priorities. It's a very reactive state. And so many senior business leaders, from the minute they wake up to the minute they go to bed, it's inbox, it's meetings, it's steering committees, and they're just not giving themselves enough time and space. You know, as you say, they could have the most amazing kind of set of thoughts and ideas, but if you're not giving yourself the space to really think about it and think about how you're going to apply it, then, you know, knowledge without action, as we both know, it's a waste of time.
You made some great, great points in there. You know, I'm going to play devil's advocate and I'm going to be provocative. That's how we get maximum value for these sessions. And most importantly, that's how our listeners get maximum value. It's great to say Mozart time in the morning. You've kind of partly answered it because you've said the 10 o'clock is your threshold. But what would you say to people who go, Andy, it's all right for you. I've got three kids. I've got school runs to do. I've got everything. When I get up in the morning, it's like the piston gun going off and it sends me into a frenzy of activity in terms of all the things I've got to do. And with young kids, it's just a nightmare. What would you say to those people who just go, Andy, I just don't have the time to do that?
Yeah, you see, first of all, I would say, you know, I have a very, very established morning routine that's much broader than what I've just said. But I have a rapid fire morning routine that gets me into the ideal performance state at speed, which is a very, very short affirmation, visualization, manifestation process that almost triggers me into that state. My normal morning routine is much more established than what I've described there. There's a lead up process to the Mozart time that makes my Mozart time really effective. What I would say, Royston, is busy does not mean effective. You know, and I was talking with a group actually out here in Australia, and I was saying, well, a lot of the American gurus would say, just get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, before the kids get up and do all this stuff. I would say it slightly differently. I would say, you know, build your routines around what matter most. And if dealing with young kids is what matter most first thing in the morning, then do that to the best of your ability. Once you're in a place where you can get into your working day, avoid the temptation to think, I'm a little bit behind, I better jump on my email. They'll still be waiting there. But give yourself that time and space. The clear space is to do what matters most. You know, and, you know, we both work with some senior leaders, and often when I work with them, I'll get them to do this process on a Friday afternoon, which is to reflect on the week, the best things that have happened, the most challenging things that have happened. And then I get them to articulate to me the most important thing they've got to do the following week. And they'll tell me whatever it is. And then I'll say to them, so when's that in your diary? And they'll say, oh, I kind of fit it in around, you know, I've got a board meeting to prepare, or I've got this, I've got that, I've got contract renewals, I've got, you know, leadership meetings. And I go, hold on a minute, you've just told me that is the most important thing you've got to do next week.
Yeah.
And you're leaving it to chance. I'm a huge believer in time blocking. What's in my diary gets done. If I left Mozart time, for example, to chance, it wouldn't get done. It's in my diary every single day, as is clear space. And that clear space is to do whatever matters most. And I strongly recommend to everyone who's watching this, The One Thing by Gary Keller. You know, I took so much from that book, and it drives a lot of the way that I was always pretty disciplined. That's taken me to, I think, to an even higher level of self-discipline. And someone we both know, actually, a guy called Tony Longdon. Very early in my leadership career, Tony said to me, he said, Andy, without discipline, we are lost. And I love that, you know, kind of thinking. And there's one thing I look to work with my clients on, Royston, it's to, you know, it's to give them a really strong operating rhythm. And actually they think, well, I'm busy now. And they think, but they soon find that actually we're creating capacity to really focus on the things that matter most.
Love it, love it. I'm going to make it really practical. So I've just been writing down feverishly some key notes as we're talking through. So the key action, my key takeaway from today is, which is a good reinforcement, the first one is about own it. Own your day, own your time, own your diary. And what I'm hearing, Andy, is it's conscious, deliberate intent that if you don't put it in your diary, if you don't block out meetings with self, if you don't put your Mozart time in, if you don't design your diary with conscious, deliberate intent. And I love the spin that you talk about, because that's where I wanted you to go, because I didn't want people to go off this session today thinking that's okay, but it doesn't work for me because I have got kids. So I love your focus around just make it work for you. We're all unique. We've all got our own individual circumstances. We've all got our own commitments. But if you've got to do this school run, then just block out the time after it before you dive into the meeting. So I think that whole own it is the first takeaway.
And I think, Royston, that's the difference, right? That's the difference between the growth mindset. The growth mindset will go, okay, I'm going to learn not just from me, from you, from whoever it might be. Okay, I'm going to have to adapt this because my circumstances are different to Royston's. They're different to Andy's. But I'm going to learn because it's clearly working. Then I'm going to adapt because I've got to do the school run or whatever it might be. Then I'm going to find my own 10% winning edge. The other thing I would say, Royston, and this is a bit of a steal from Plato's cave, but I love it anyway. So, you know, if you've lived your whole life in a cave in complete darkness, then one day somebody lets you out and it's a beautiful sunny day. you know, what happens to your eyes? Well, you're temporarily blinded and it feels really uncomfortable. So what you want to do is run straight back into the cave. But if you can hold your place in the sun, your eyes will slowly adjust. And then you see this beautiful vista in front of you. And then you never want to go back. So if you replace the cave with your comfort zone, that's the difference that makes the difference. We've got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. So when you take on a new behavior, so you listen to some of your great teachings or some of the things I've just shared, you give it a go and it feels really uncomfortable. It feels clunky. You're sitting there with Mozart time. You're thinking, well, nothing's happening. There's no real kind of sparks going on for me. So you run straight back into the cave because you go, this just doesn't work for me. You know, but we have to hold our place. We have to get comfortable being uncomfortable and work with this stuff until we've, you know, created some new behaviors, some new habits, some new routines. And again, I don't know how many days it takes to create a new habit. You know, I think that the science seems to move around from 21 to 66 to all sorts of different numbers, but it does take repeat, and a bit of test and learn, which again, that's the growth mindset in play until we find something that really works strongly for us.
I love this. And a mind once stretched never returns to its original dimension. And it is about how you stretch that comfort zone, how you expand your core. You know, you talk about it is about being comfortably uncomfortable. And expanding that comfort zone, here's a question for you. How much time should you be spending on a weekly basis on yourself, on your personal growth, on your growth mindset? You know, if we were looking at designing that high performance week, how much time do you dedicate to it?
Yeah, and I think this is a brilliant question. First of all, you can't outgrow your level of self-development, but I think it comes in so many different ways. So, you know, you might do 40 minutes a day of formal development, might be time that, you know, I'm very conscious of different people in different parts of the world or in different stages of lockdown and things, but it might be when you're traveling, it might be when you're exercising. You know, I like to listen to a podcast or an audio book 30, 40 minutes a day, whatever it might be. But then there's so many other ways to learn and really stretch your mind. I mean, you know, I'm 54 now and I'm a massive believer in reverse mentoring. So if I go and meet one of the younger generation that I'm mentoring, I learn so much from those individuals as well. So I think there's formal time, but there's so much informal time as well. I think we just need to go around with our antennae up and, you know, be very observant, be looking and listening and learning just throughout some of these ongoing daily interventions. And I think that's where most people actually have a fixed mindset. They're going, oh, you know, I'm going to meet this young guy, he or she, they're 23. You know, this is what I'm going to tell them rather than, well, actually there's so much I can absorb and learn from them. I want to stay relevant till I'm well into my 70s and 80s even. How do I do that? Well, I need to learn through the generations. So, you know, I think there's formal, you know, and if anyone's doing 30, 40 minutes a day to really invest in self, I think they're just going to, by the end of 6, 9, 12 months, they're going to significantly see and feel the difference. And the other reason why I think it's so important, Royston, it's what it does for our belief system. You know, and I think it's not just the learning. I find whenever I'm truly deeply investing in myself, it builds my self-worth, my self-esteem, my self-belief, which enables me to be more confident and stretch even further out of my comfort zone.
I love the reframe you've just given us there about the formal learning and listening to TED Talks or listening to podcast sessions like this, but also the reframe and the mindset shift that actually we're always learning when you're in work. And I guess some people go into autopilot in certain parts of their lives and don't just think about it in that context. Whereas what you're saying is the formal learning is great, but actually make sure that you are looking to extract the learnings out of everything that you do, every email that you send, every conversation that you have. And actually, if you're on that lifelong learning platform, I mean, it just completely transforms your whole mindset about your application and ability to learn, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And then, you know, energy goes to energy because you're putting that out into the universe. That's what you're attracting towards you. You know, we both believe that, you know, winners go to winners. Energy goes to energy. So, you know, you draw the right type of people towards your circle because of the energy that you're giving off, because of that that interest because you're seeking it, you tend to find it. That's certainly the way that it's been for me in life.
I loved your quote. You said there, you can't outgrow your level of self-development. So, Andy, there will be people listening to this podcast. You and I both know this, and we've both done a similar exercise at conferences that we've spoken at or with audiences, where you ask the audience to put their hands up and you go, right, who's read a biography or a self-development book in the last 6 months or listened to a podcast? And yet so few people, you know, less than 20% of the audience will probably be putting their hands in the air from mainstream. How do you create a compelling why that really is like the igniter switch for people today that really will kick them on and go, right, do you know what? I'm not just going to listen passively to what Andy and Royston are talking about. I'm going to take massive action. I'm going to create. So what's the why? How do we catalyze and mobilize people to action? And then what would you be doing? Would you recommend people create a personal growth plan that they look at time in the diary? And you've talked a lot about TED Talks and so forth. How do people go about creating a self-development strategy or growth plan?
Yeah, and I would say this is something that everyone who listens to this could do today. Most people, when they think about time, they think about the things that have happened in the past, and they think about the things that may or may not happen in the future. So we tend to look at time along the horizontal. I would love everyone to just stop and almost have a vertical look at time right now. So starting with yourself and go, well, where am I? This is you as the individual, not you in the working context yet. You know, what do I love about where I am right now? But equally, what do I need to change about where I am right now? And that may be, that's all the things around your health and well-being. Then you go up a level to say, well, what about my working world? What do I love about my working world right now? What do I want to change about my working world right now? And then if you're running a team, you can think about that as the team, but also the business that you set or sector that you're in. So almost instead of, you know, I am where I am because of all these things that have happened in the past and you know, I'm not really sure about where I want to go, or I'm expecting there's going to be another restructure at work, and you're almost giving control to everyone else. You just stop, you pause, you go vertical, and you think about, you know, what do I need to change within myself? My well-being, my mental health, my physical health, my relationships. What do I need to change about where I am at work? And what can I do to create, you know, a better future for myself, my life, and also that of those around me, then the team, then the business. And I think if you have that vertical look and you're brutally honest with yourself, and I think that's one of the biggest opportunities, Royston, that people don't take 100% ownership of where they are right now. And we are very fortunate that you, me, and everyone who watches this will have choices, but we need to own those choices, and we can make significant changes. We can reinvent ourselves over this long weekend if we choose to do so, but we've got to stop, think, and then look at all these different layers, you know, within our life. And then I would go from there. I would then go out to a desired future state, you know, and myself, I do this with my amazing wife Leona. We think about our desired future state. Where do we want to be in 6 years? It's December 2026 for us when our youngest daughter leaves school at 18. We have a very clearly defined desired future state of how we want to be living our lives. And then all of the decisions that we make and everything that we do is geared towards moving further in the direction of that desired future state. So there's a couple of practical things. I'm not saying that they're easy things, but I would strongly recommend that people do that. Anyone who's waking up and they're not feeling 100% in control, they're not comfortable with the boss they're working for, they're not comfortable with the life they're living, they're not enjoying the job that they're doing. You know, there's tons of people out there who have that Sunday night feeling that it's like being back at school, that they're like, oh, gotta go to work tomorrow. Well, if you're one of those people, then I strongly recommend you stop and you spend a bit of time. Firstly, going back through all your amazing content, which really helps me reframe my thinking. But secondly, just do those exercises that I've talked about.
It's tough looking in your mirror, though, Andy. You might not like what you see. And that's why people shy away from it, because they're they're not prepared to truly face off into what they see and, you know, ask the question, do I like the person that I see in the mirror? So how do you have the courage? How do you develop the conviction to do that?
Brilliant question. So here I am on, it's my 50th birthday. I've been working in corporate for my whole life and I've always had this passion to run my own business. First thing I suggest everyone does is take the Richard Branson test. Branson says you're 90 years old, you're sitting in your rocking chair outside of your house and you're looking back on your life. What do you want to be saying to yourself? I could have done this. I should have done that. I wish I'd done the other. Or, well, I didn't get everything right, but I gave life my best shot. And I took that Richard Branson test on my 50th birthday, Royston. I was over in Bali with my family and some friends. And that's the first thing I did. The second thing I did was I made a conscious decision. I said, I'm going to achieve more in the next 25 years of my life than the previous 50. And the third decision I made was I'm going to leave corporate within the next 6 months. And, you know, then, so first of all, I would suggest everyone takes this Richard Branson test. And you've got to be convinced that by the time you get to that point in your life, you're going to pass it. If not, you need to make change. So I spent some time then really thinking about my purpose. Why am I on this earth? And that really is what my Mozart time, another great use of my Mozart time. And I then thought, I went from purpose to what would I absolutely love to be doing if time and money were of no object? And from that, I started to think about the business. I devised the business plan. And then I really spent a lot of time thinking about, well, what are the problems that I can help solve for people? And it's the areas that in which we both operate. So I was clear on my purpose. I thought about my business and the business plan. I thought about the problems I was wanting to help people solve. And then it's just about the personal habits and routines to give you the courage. You know, everything I do for myself is to build my level of self-belief, my self-confidence, my self-esteem. So I'm willing to take the plunge. I'm willing to get out of that cave and decide what I'm going to do, commit to it, and then go. And that's one of the little mantras that I have on my wall, Royston. Again, if you want to talk about moving from intent to action, for me, I start less, but I finish more. Because once I made a decision, I asked myself, how committed am I to this? And I work with lots of people, lots of teams, lots of businesses, where every 5 minutes they seem to be starting something new. Yeah. Most of it fizzles out because they're not truly committed. So I go, how committed am I to this? If I'm not a 9, at least a 9 out of 10, then I go back to the decision. If I am 9 out of 10 or more, then the gap between commitment and going has to be very, very small. Because procrastination builds fear, it builds doubt. So I decide, I commit, and then I go. And once you've leapt off the side of the swimming pool, you're going to hit the water. You can't suddenly, you know, reverse and get back. So, and we both know, take the plunge. Once you hit the water, it's sink or swim. So, and this is the thing about the growth mindset. Those of us with the growth mindset, if we make a mistake, we respond quickly, you know, and I think being very, very clear about how you build resilience, how you recover from disappointment, I think that's critical to moving from where you are to where you want to be. A key part of growth mindset is you embrace, you know, what Jim Collins would call the BHAGs, the big, hairy, audacious goals. Those with a fixed mindset, that they'll avoid effort, they'll avoid risk, they'll avoid challenge. I'll try and stay in the cave that they've been in for however many years it is.
Love it. I tell you what, our listeners are getting some value. I hope they are furiously making notes and capturing some of the golden nuggets as gems. Just as you were talking there, I created this little 4 P's model. I was kind of like spinning off what you were saying. So I went, here's my 4 P's. Find your purpose and be really clear about your why, because your purpose is your catalyst to action. And out your purpose, if you can do your passion every single day, and the great thing about having a conversation with you is, and, you know, I really respect you because you were in that corporate world. It's really difficult when you have got a great salary, you're in that comfort zone, to step off that treadmill, to do your Richard Branson test and to go, do you know what? You know what? No more. And the second P for me, what I'm hearing is, do your passion. If you can do your passion every single day and turn your work, your passion into your work, then wow, that then you are really being authentic and you're being who you are every single day. The third one I loved, the third P, which I thought was really, which was really clever, is that if you can turn your passion into solving problems for others and you're a problem solver and you can help others to solve their problems and create the solutions, then that's the third P. And then the fourth I just spun on because I just thought I'd throw a fourth on there was procrastinate no more. And become that action, or you are that action orientated person, Andy, who just gets out there and has got that bias for action. And is that a muscle? How long has it taken you to develop that? I mean, is that something you've always had, or is that something you've had to really work hard on?
Yeah, I think I've always been a very action orientated. Very early in my career, I worked for a guy called Tony Schofield, who was the managing director of the RBS. I was actually his executive assistant at the time. And Tony pulled me into his office one day and he said, Andy, he said, two things I'm going to say to you. He said, you're only going to work for me for 12 months because after 12 months, you're going to learn everything that you're capable of learning from me. And I've been told you're a really high potential individual and I'm not going to hold you back any longer. So after 12 months, you're gone. So you better learn and you better learn fast. And then he said, and the second thing I'm going to tell you, he said, the only people who don't make mistakes are the people who don't do anything. So always be action orientated or always have a bias to action. That was his early advice. I don't know how old I was, Royston, maybe 21, 22, whatever it was. And I never, ever forgot that. And, you know, then I heard that, I think it's do today what others only plan to do tomorrow. I worked for a guy, Malcolm McDowell, and Malcolm really instilled that in me, you know, do today what others are only planning to do tomorrow. Malcolm always had this vision that he was going to create a 13-month year because he was going to move so much faster and quicker than everyone else. And he was relentless at cutting low-value actions, bureaucracy, red tape. So he would allow people to get on with the job. He set massive goals, but then he said, I'm going to, you know, set direction. I'm going to check you understand, and then I'm going to get out of your way. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can to cut bureaucracy, to cut red tape. And I think too many people operate reverse of that. Too many leaders lack the trust. They lack the confidence. They lack the belief in their people. So they add in extra meetings. They add in extra steering committees or whatever it might be. And before you know it, their people are spending less and less time focused on the things that really, really matter.
Love it. So I'm going to close off our session by saying you've got to be in the arena. You've got to be out there taking massive action every single day. And it's been a real pleasure having you on Talking Pathways. I'm sure we'll get you back again in the future. Where can people, if people want to know more about what you do or they want to follow your blogs or some of your writing, some of your work, where can they go?
Yeah, sure. But just before I go, I'd add one more to your piece. And that is surround yourself. It's a double P with positive people.
Yeah,
push all negative influences out of your life. You know, surround yourself. And you know, when we're on that journey, Royston, not every day is you know, calm waters. And having an amazing winning circle of people like yourself and many of the other people around me, that's what gives me the strength, the persevere to keep going. So that would be my last word of advice to people. But I'd encourage people, you know, go to my YouTube channel. There's tons of free content on there. Andy Fell, Gift631. Please link with me via LinkedIn, my Facebook business page, Andy Fell, Gift631, or just email me. You know, I'd love to connect with people. Andy Fell at gift631.com.
I love your double P, positive people. Who you spend time with is who you become. And I know you're great believers. And it's so true, Andy, what you say about reverse mentoring. Yeah, I'm energized by just having this conversation. I love doing Talking Pathways. It's just the guests that we get on have always got rich golden nuggets, ideas to share that enriches me just as much as it does the listeners. So thank you for making the time to come on today. I'm sure everybody will get loads of value from what we've talked about. And most importantly, if you like Talking Pathways, make sure you share it with people. We don't want it to be the best kept secret. There's so much rich content that comes from the guests. We've got to get it out there. We've got to share it so that more people can be more successful and realizing the goals every single day. So from Andy and I, until our next episode of Talking Pathways, goodbye for now.